Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, and it is a good morning, sort of. There's a lot going on. It is the holiday season. Beautiful time of year, crazy time of year. A lot of people flip out around the holidays. In fact, for whatever reason, and this is up to a lot of conjecture, I think I've seen more people break down psychologically in the last 6 months than I've seen in 20 years of medicine. And I don't know why that is. I don't want to speculate about that. That's not the purpose of the show. But especially in light of recent events, but really our attention's being called to something from Connecticut to Columbine to whatever you want to bring your attention to about the breakdown in our, what I'm going to call, inherent ability to withstand stress. No matter what angle you come about this, we are flipping out. And we're doing it more. And as I said, I've seen more of it in the last 6 months than I think I've seen in two decades. And I want you to think about your friends, your relatives, your loved ones, your coworkers. I want you to think about all the people you know and ask yourself if you've seen more people flip in the last 6 months. One way or another, people coming to those forks in the road where they're going to get it together or they're going to snap. And I want you to write in. I want you to comment on the show. I want you to tell me yes or no. I want you to tell me you understand what I'm saying or you're oblivious to it. But I can tell you definitively, for whatever reason, there's more of it than ever. And that's what this show is about. Not how to flip out, but how natural medicine, really the essence of it, as superficially as it's generally presented. And you know that's a favorite subject of mine. The superficial presentation of natural medicine. Where is all the natural medicine in the face of the last 6 months or whatever I'm referring to or whatever you're referring to? It needs to go to the other level because it really does provide the solution. It is about enhancing, embellishing, educating, creating a powerful countermeasure to stress. Natural medicine is an education specific to the person to bring you into the part of you that says, I'm in pain and I have hate and I have rage. And I'm very angry, and I've been abused, but you know what? I don't care. Because I'm going to get through, and I'm going to get to the other side, and I'm going to prosper amidst all of that. Our theology, our religious affiliation, our theology, our philosophy are all critical here, but they have to go deeper than that. You cannot relegate and reduce your philosophy, your theology, your good intention. You cannot reduce it to rhetoric. And I don't mean insincerity on your part, because you are not insincere. You are sincere. But if you leave out your body, the gateway to making this functional in everyday life is lost, or at least immeasurably hindered. The way to turn your good intention into the material plane is to go through gateways that have been put there inside our physiology. That's the central axis of this 60 Minutes today. It's been the central axis of my 82 shows. It's the central axis of my school. It is a theme that natural medicine provides you with a more foundational, adaptive mechanism that allows you to meet your day amidst all that, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at this, you are going to suffer. Now, if you want to give your children something to buffer them, something to stick their ribs to, because it's crazy for kids, if you want to bring them something that will serve them in coping, adapting, rebounding from the incredible stresses, give them autonomic patency. Autonomic patency. You have a six-year-old kid, you teach that kid about its nervous system. And of course, tied into that is your own education. But you think of your child as that little cute pet. Just bear with me here. That you hug and you love and you observe, acting like a healthy little pet. So pardon the comparison, but you'll get the point. And you've heard me do this before on this show. That animal purrs, it chirps, it sings, it banters around, it makes its sounds. It goes into little waves, like your cat or your dog, if you really observe it. It plays. It finds its bliss. And that, as you've heard me do on other shows, is the patency of its autonomic nervous system. It is having an experience in its body, That's blissful. That's euphoric. That's what health and harmony are about. It is where the rubber meets the road. Are you having that experience? Do you even understand what I'm saying? I invite you to understand what I'm talking about. I implore you, especially over the holidays. Because in the end, at certain phases, when you feel like you're about to flip, you've got nothing else but that. So you can pray. And you can talk to God. But if you can connect that experience to your being, to your body, I promise you an intensification of that process. Some of you know this already. That experience where you enhost your faith, where you regenerate your faith, where you find the better side of you, is very much connected to your body. It is not a neck-up experience. And in science, we call this autonomic patency. It means the parasympathetic nerves are kicking in. Yes, I keep harping on this. You bet. Because as much as I harp on it, this is something like the word love, education, marriage. It's conceptual. You learn it deeply. You learn it through depth, through familiarity. This is why I have my school. My students increasingly will evolve to a deeper understanding of that word. And the return on health there is enormous. This I did not invent. I didn't invent this. This has been on the tips of the tongues of many scientists, many doctors, many healers, many cultures for many, many, many years. I like to come at it. It's my affinity, my particular talent, perhaps. To go at this from the standpoint of the highest form of science I can find. And that's that book. The book, by the way, I have articles going up on the website as we talk, straighttalk.cc. That's 2Ts.cc. If you're listening to the show for the first time, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is the straightest talk on health that I think you can hear presently. And I want you to go to the website. If you're streaming the show, which I hope you are, I hope that you've learned to use the computer to hear the show. Because then you can look at the pictures, and we can talk, and we can learn and read and see, and we can bring in another sense. StraightTalk.cc. There's a book there. I'm looking at it now. It's in my hand. The Stress of Life. Hans Selye. I did one of my earlier shows on stress and inflammation, and we really got into this. But this is one of the central tenets of every conversation you have about health. The autonomics, autonomic integrity, the ability to feel. So we're not having these conversations in our mind. We're having them in our being, in our bodies. And until they get there, we're not going to cut it. That is a standard we are all obliged to attain if we really want to understand natural medicine. Well, this doctor published over 1,500 articles. He was the professor and director of the Institute of Experimental Medicine and Surgery at the University of Montreal. As they call him, unquestionably one of the great pioneers of medicine, Dr. Hans Selye, S-E-L-Y-E. Get the book. See the cover on my website, The Stress of Life. Get the book and read it. It will deepen. You think stress is that tension in your neck because you had a tough day at work. Okay, that's true. But it goes so much deeper, all the way to levels of it that make you snap. And we're doing it. We are developing in the Western techno culture. I didn't say industrial. Those days are over. We're not really defined today as an industrial society, just as we're not defined today, certainly, as an agrarian society. But we are certainly defined today here in the States as a techno society, with India and China on our trail, projected by some to exceed us over the next 20 years in many ways. And it will cost them just as it's cost us if we don't understand the implications of our techno lifestyle and the word stress. And our children are taking the beating. So not to be manipulative, but I think it's an appropriate juncture on this day to say our children, from the aggressors to the victims, are taking the beating because we're not getting it yet. And this is not a show about your MDs. Frankly, I love the MDs. At least they deliver what they say they're going to do. It's the holistic people, the chiropractors, the acupuncturists, the massage therapists, the nutritionists. They're at the top of my list. Nor am I pointing the finger, but I am ardently, passionately suggesting that we all get more fundamental. So if we're going to cope, if we're going to adapt, if we're going to prosper under what's coming down the pipe, yes, perhaps we're approaching all the prophecies of Revelation. I don't want to get into this, but after yesterday, many of you think this way, of course. This is just consistent with biblical prophecy. So we can make gun restrictions and we can talk about all sorts of things like I'm going to talk about today. Maybe there's a bigger picture here. Then there's people that think it's up in the astrology. Don't want to get into it. Don't want to touch it. But I can tell you this, natural medicine, if you get into in your relationships, with your chiropractors, your nutritionists, your acupuncturists, your psychologists, your massage therapists. If you get into it more deeply with them, they will be happy to engage you on the deeper levels. This show is a call for you and them to start to have those discussions, because you're going to need them. Because your chiropractic adjustments and those herbs you're taking are not going to cut it. It's perspectives that cut it. How about this one? This one really, really fascinates me. I'm looking at a book, the textbook of medical physiology, by Arthur Guyton. Arthur Guyton was a physiologist and a biophysicist out of the University of Mississippi in the 1930s. Wow. Biophysics in 1930? It didn't even exist. This man, like CLA, was many, many years ahead of himself. And Arthur Guyton has a page in his book. You may not have this edition, but it's in chapter 50. It's up on my website, page 597, perhaps. And it's on the brain's opiate system, endorphins and enkephalins. Take a moment here. Take a moment. More than 20 years ago, so he's talking about probably the 1920s or 30s. It was discovered that little injections of morphine into parts of the brain around the third ventricle. Remember that part of the brain that pumps the cerebral spinal fluid? It makes it and pumps it. So we injected morphine into this part of the brain, and it caused an extreme degree of analgesia, meaning you didn't feel any pain. Well, we know that. We took morphine, we injected it into the brain, you didn't feel any pain. Now it's been found that morphine acts on many other points in the body. That's kind of not news to us anyway. 20 years ago, an extensive search was set out to understand natural opiates of the brain. So they knew morphine. We synthesized morphine. Our body does not make morphine, but because we knew about morphine, we saw what it did, we said, gee, this is Guyton writing in the 40s or 30s. He's saying, wow, maybe the body makes opiates. At least 9 such opiate-like substances have been found in different parts of the nervous system. Furthermore, multiple areas of the brain have been shown to have opiate receptors. It means your brain is sitting up there just waiting to go to the bliss state, to go to the pain-free state, to go to the state that allows you to get on the other side of a rotten day. No matter how deeply you have been imprinted with the horrors that we don't need to get into on this show, but the horrors that produce some of the things that we are horrified at, there's a brain up there in all of us with receptor sites just waiting to engage the body's natural heroin system, its natural opiate system. Multiple areas of the brain have been shown to have opiate receptors. Among the more important opiate substances are endorphins, enkephalins, and dynorphin. Dynorphin, D-Y-N-O-R-P-H-I-N. This one caught my attention 20 years ago. Dynorphin, and I quote Guyton, though found only in minute quantities in the nervous system, is important because it's an extremely powerful opiate. It's the king of the opiates, having 200 times as much pain-killing effect as morphine when injected into the body. Think about that. Your brain is sitting up there with receptor sites for things like dynorphin. Could it be that there's a way to engage, enhance, embellish, intensify the production of your body's own natural opiates. Because if you suspect that the answer is yes, you get the point. But then you also get the point of the entire direction of natural medicine. Natural medicine, achieved by following natural law, produces the opiates that engage the brain to take you to the very high state. And if you don't have a sense of that, if you are birthing children, if you are living without a sense of that, if you don't know how to evolve that, to educate yourself to the other side of that, to develop that, we are all in a lot of trouble, and you are seeing its results today. Dynorphin. Dynorphin. Fascinating. It's all there in the literature. So, we have these internal mechanisms to counter pain, to counter sadness, to counter anger, fear, worrying, and mechanisms through educations we can learn to employ to bring us back to our natural self. Or can't we wrap our head around the possibility that every beast, from Hitler to Hussein to Stalin to whoever, did have at one time another side, only they got lost to the dark side? And what's the difference between the two? Perhaps, I ask you to consider, perhaps they lost that connection. You know that thing that mommy is supposed to give you? Perhaps they never got it. Perhaps it was beaten out of them, tortured out of them, mutilated out of them, angered out of them. And with enough intelligence and enough rage, you can do a lot of damage in the world. You think of natural medicine, holistic medicine, as a teaching through natural law to get you to connect to your autonomic nervous system, because it is the parasympathetic nerves that mediate, that create this production of opiates so you can get to the better part of you. That's a lot. I could close the show right now. If you can really take that in. Here's another one. It's on the website, the Journal of Neuroscience, July 4th, 2012. So this came out 5-6 months ago. Dynorphins regulate fear memory, from mice to men. Dynorphins regulate fear memory, from mice to men. If you want to talk about research on the internet, get in to the journals, the scientific journals. There's hundreds of them. And pull them up. You have to pay for the article. Like this one here, the Journal of Neuroscience. This article cost me $30. Now I'm a member, but every article I get is another $30. That's a great use of the internet, which I'm going to attack viciously later on. Not the internet, computers, and perhaps the internet. But I've got this wonderful article here, the first page of which, the abstract, which is on my website, Dynorphins Regulate Fear Memory, from mice to men. Okay, brace yourself. If you took a little mouse or a rat and you put them in a cage, and every time you walked to the cage, you bothered them, you irritated them. You know, you poked a stick at them. You got them nervous, and you just kept doing it. So, yeah, you kind of tortured the mouse or the rat. After a while, the minute you open the door, long before you poke the mouse or the rat, the animal's entire chemistry, its entire physiology, responds to the stress, even though you didn't do anything. You could walk in after the maybe 20th time of torturing the mouse, and you could say, "Hello, Mr. Mouse," and that response would occur. And if you just kept, from that point on, just walking in and saying, good morning, Mr. Mouse, at some point, the mouse has a massive heart attack. Its heart explodes. It bursts. Its heart just bursts. And so you killed the mouse. You didn't do anything. You just walked in and said, hello, Mr. Mouse. The imprint, how the mouse's physiology, and thus its actions, how it behaves, the very core of itself, is going to be chemically dominated because it remembers that event. It cannot get out of that event. Right. You beat your kid enough, you mutilate your kid enough, you criticize your child enough, you fail to love it, you leave it drowning in its excrement. You do all these things for whatever reasons that hopefully you'll be forgiven for. Maybe you're on heroin. Maybe you're in a terrible marriage. Maybe you can't be home for your children. Maybe you love them dearly, but there's going to be dues to pay. And one of them is, for that kid to eat, you're gone. And that babysitter plays with your baby. Whatever the case, your child in utero in its first years of life is imprinted. Get this article. Because it's telling you, if you can produce enough dynorphin, and some kids are born with a better production of it, and that's another story. It's called a healthy birth. What do you think we're constantly harping on when we ask you mothers to cleanse a year or two before your baby, to stay flexible, to remediate your scars, to have the birth down the vaginal canal, to learn enough about the process before you have the process, a.k.a. Lamaze, a.k.a. open your meridians so you can birth that kid down the canal, to breastfeed it, to be discreet with vaccination, if not, to not give your child vaccinations, to feed it the good things, to train it not to take the sugars. Why do we do that? Because it develops a stronger baby. A baby whose endocrine system, whose neuroendocrine system, its glandular system, up there deep in the brain, chemicals we've isolated and stuff we don't have the funding to isolate. Only through clinical experience do we know something that we can't put our finger on. And if we can't put our finger on it, we're told we're wrong, we're crazy. Natural medicine is just theoretical. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's no more theoretical than Columbine and Connecticut. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I know. You're busy. So am I. But we just might be at that point where we got to make bigger space for this. We just might be at the point where we got to get off more simplistic perceptions of holistic medicine. Do not measure yourself, if you listen to this show, by your neighbors. Because your neighbors, if they're not into any level of this, I don't know what to say. They're in God's hands. That's the only way I can put that. I look at some of these people. Because all I hear is what you tell me. You know, my neighbor thinks I'm crazy. Wait a minute. You spent $125 to come to the Medici Institute once every 6 weeks? I don't have that kind of time. Are you crazy? And you come in and people tell me, my neighbors think I'm crazy. They buy those herbal supplements off a radio show. What fools? My MD looks at me like I'm embarrassed to tell him what I do. Maybe those you kiss people up to the Lord. I don't know. I don't really enjoy talking to them. When you're that dense. But there are people who will lend an ear. There are people. And those numbers will grow. Because it's very obvious we're not getting things answered correctly, are we? Look at our politicians. Look at your basic faith in government, Republican or Democratic. Doesn't matter. Let's not get into that. And look at something like our educational system. How long is it going to be before we all start to realize that slavery's back. We're just a bunch of serfs on a little plot of land that work 9 to 5, do the chores on Saturday, pray we can get a little family time on Sunday, and then we're back to it. And in the end, we're still nowhere. But someone's making money off the sweat of our labor. So might there be a way to adapt ourselves to the stresses that we're under, perhaps, in a sense, for the first time in many, many years in world history? It's not in recent memory that we had to deal with a techno society. It's not in recent times that we had to deal with the apparent disappearance of ecosystems. So perhaps it's time to reach deeper. So these imprints along the way, these stresses along the way, these aches and pains along the way, everything from daddy didn't tell me I was pretty to he used to break my bones, the whole gamut of it that many of us have suffered on many levels. Here it is in the Journal of Neuroscience. If you secrete more dynorphin, you forget the experience. It purges out of you. If the mouse or the rat that at some point shakes it, so when you start opening the door again, instead of torturing the rat returns to base. It gets back to home base. It says, oh, I remember when you just open the door and you smile at me and I smile back at you. Those were the good old days. We have chemicals that we have control over. See, this is the point. We have chemicals that we can produce, like dynorphin, that we know what they do. That's how you get over your trauma. You see? You identify those kids. You identify it in yourself, the amount of your rage in yourself, and you educate yourself through natural medicine. That's a lot more than herb popping, isn't it? Or chiropractic adjustments, isn't it? Because it is the essence of natural medicine. All of it, if you study it and take it to its essence, was asking you to get in touch with the autonomics, to produce the opiates, to go to the highest part of your creative potential, to meet the burdens that sometimes you're going to suffer. And if you can do that, you can ride the wave in a more prosperous way. There is a methodology, there is an art and a science to the process that you're obliged to begin to learn. So check this article out. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Okay. So, cleansing and nutrifying the body, getting flexible, or regulating the biomechanics. I don't know about you, but if I have to wear a tie and a belt and shoes with heels, I don't feel as stress-free as before I put those things on, because it's changed my biomechanics. If I don't get my half an hour to 40 minutes to hour and a half on the track to stretch and work and move my blood, I don't feel as good. I can't handle the stress as well. If I've got something adhesive in my body, some scar, it's got to get worked out. Not just with clay. Clay's a great conditioner. But to the point when you can have the visceral, very real feeling of warmth or heat circulation through that scar, you have to take it to that level. And if you do, you will call into my show and thank me. And thank God. And thank natural law. Because once you feel circulation into an area of your body that was not circulating, you will understand what you're up to in this process. You have to bring the parasympathetic flow mediated through nerves like little angel hair spaghettis little angel hair pasta to your organ systems, to your cells, and have that physical experience. Robert Assagioli, it's the 1920s. He's a psychiatrist. He's a contemporary of Freud. He's a contemporary of Sigmund Freud. Freud is shocking the world there, the turn of the century into the 1920s, telling mothers that their kids are actually enjoying, in a sensual way, breastfeeding. This didn't go over too well. It was Victorian America, Victorian Europe. Freud was a Jew. He was already out on a limb. And then he comes up with that one, that you should enjoy wiping your child's private parts after defecation, etc. That it's healthy. And that the Oedipal complex is real. And when you're kissing your child, there's a sensuality to it that you have to embrace, not run away from. When your child at the age of 2 or 3 looks back at you with those sensual eyes. So Freud is talking like this, and people are going, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Remember, this is Victorian America. We were cutting out clitorises up to 1900. The Victorian and sexuality in America. John Holler and his wife, Holler and Holler. Common practice, even in America. So there's Freud, and Freud is publishing, gathering a crowd, opening up psychoanalysis, talking to you about the oral stage, the anal stage, the Oedipal stage, the post-Oedipal stage. Along comes Robert Assagioli. He's also a medical doctor. He's also a psychiatrist. He's got a very different slant on this. He creates something called psychosynthesis. His work in regard to exploring the creative potential of the child, especially the gifted child, is another obligation for you if you have children and if you don't. And what you're going to find out in Assagioli's works is that his version as a medical doctor and a psychiatrist and someone with a different perspective than Freud, his version of bringing you yourself via psychosynthesis, his work, his body of work, or your child to your full creative potential was inexorably bound with his understanding of the autonomic nervous system. So you're going to see a confluence. You're going to see multiple facets. You're going to see perceptions of this autonomic nervous system, this parasympathetic flow, coming from all over the world in different packages from the beginning of recorded time. But this gets relegated. Remember I talked about Harriet Hall? Check the show out. I think it was 2 or 3 shows ago. Harriet from Skeptic Magazine. She understands nothing of this, nor does she think any of this exists. And there are many people like that. Your neighbors are like that. And yet in science, so many learned people. But you don't buy these books at Barnes & Noble. You buy books on coffee tables and how to fix the toilet and romantic novels and all sorts of things that may have their place. But you don't find books like this, but they're out there. And perhaps if there's something good about the internet, they can get you there faster. So Assagioli's out there saying, there's no such thing as getting to the autonomic nervous system, as no such thing as getting to your creative potential if you can't get in that state. And his point, as it relates to gifted children, and many of your worst criminals were gifted children, many of them. Not across the board, but many people who do diabolical things at one time were gifted little kids. They just didn't use their gifts correctly. I mean, Stalin, how many people did he put away? 40 million? more than Hitler. In history, I don't think anyone argues with the thing about Joe Stalin. I mean, people make a case for Mao. Had to do that. To get China to where it is today, he had to kill 50 million. Infant mortality when Chiang Kai-shek ran China was 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 kids. It was run by drug lords and Chiang Kai-shek. You want to argue with that? Call me. We owned China at one time. China was an opium den. And Mao came in and flushed it. Well, right or wrong, I don't know. Don't want to get into it. But Stalin, nobody argues about Stalin. Stalin was insane. And he must have murdered 20 to 40 million people. Jews, Catholics, everybody. Anything in his way. And yet, the man was brilliant. No one argues that either. And so perhaps what a lot of this deviance is, are very gifted kids that turn to the dark side. They invite evil forces in, and as we well know, when you invite them in, for whatever reason, they come. I assure you this, to get to that point, through your suffering, whatever and on whatever level that suffering might have been, that child gets divorced from the parasympathetic nerve. It loses its ability to relax. It goes into another psychic state. We call that sympathetic dominance. So if you take a child with enough talent and you torture it, you abuse it, you shame it, you guilt it, you molest it, you horrify it, you leave it without the slightest semblance of love, you can create a monster capable of anything. That's what we call a pathological autonomic split. You can see it in their eyes, right? We say, that guy's crazy. You look in Charlie Manson's eyes. You look in Adolf Hitler's eyes. You look at all these people before they do these things, and you can see, uh-oh, something's brewing. In the religious context, we say, they are possessed. And yes, in fact, if you're asking me, they most certainly are. If you're vulnerable, the devil does come. One thing I've learned in medicine over 20 years, because I've heard a lot, not everything, some have heard more, but I've run into my share, and there is a devil, and that devil does come in, and you got to have a strong faith, and you got to have an education in what it takes to develop faith. But the point of this show, the point of this particular show is, you have to connect that faith to your nervous system. Because it won't move into a powerful enough place unless you do. And this is what the spearhead of natural medicine is most fundamentally about. To cleanse, to stretch, to purge your neuroses, your hates, your fears, your worries, your guilts, your self-abuse, your masochism. To remediate your scars that block that flow is the spearhead of natural medicine. Fascinating. It's a lot more than just taking herbs for symptoms. It's a lot more than just getting your back cracked because your low back hurts. If you read the progenitors of chiropractic, of osteopathic, of nutrition, of many medicines, of psychology, you will see that all of these things I'm talking about are real and true. But you see, we've been litigated out of a more basic understanding. Our culture has succumbed to an industrial techno existence that makes these understandings just too much. Just give me the herb, please. I just want the herb. Look, I've got 20 minutes a week to hit the chiropractor. A little hot pack, a little handshake, a little adjustment, pop, 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 I'm out the door. It makes me feel better, Charlie. Don't knock it. Better than nothing. Agreed. Agreed. It is better than nothing. But it's not cutting it. And it's going to get worse. So I'm not here to start the doomsday lecture. But I am here to say it's getting worse. And I think this is a very appropriate time of year, because it's not Christmas yet, but it's an extraordinarily appropriate day to say it's getting worse. We didn't have these incidences like this 100 years ago. My father grew up in a ghetto in New York City. They slept in the 1930s with their doors unlocked in ghettos. My grandmother lived in a ghetto until 1960 in South Brooklyn. And we were all packing by then. It was so dangerous. But 30 years earlier, you went to sleep with your doors unlocked in ghettos in Brooklyn. So things have changed. I know people from Hollywood to West Hollywood that at the age of 10, 11 would walk in the hills 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Unknown to their parents, they'd sneak out of the house with their friends and just frolic in the hills in the spring. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 10 years old, 11, yeah. Misbehaving, but nonetheless doing it. And you couldn't find a problem. So what's going on? People flip. They can't handle the stress. Those little kids that become those monsters were little kids at some time, at some point, just like your little kids. What makes them monsters? We're all in this together. We may not flip and break. We may not have suffered that much. We may not run into the devil on a bad day. But one thing for sure, collectively as a culture, we're burning out. We are becoming a sympathetic, disconnected, pathologically dissociated culture, more and more and more. Here's a perspective. If you can plan your kid, right? Not the backseat version that just happens. If you can plan your kid, give a couple of years to a cleansing. Right. My daughter is engaged. She's married. They want to have a kid. They're trying for a kid. Does she understand anything about cleaning that body? Does she understand that the first 12 weeks of nausea and vomiting and suicidal feelings, because her morning sickness is so bad, is her body preparing itself to gestate, to have a healthy baby? Does she understand that morning sickness is detox? Has she spent a few years cleansing, stretching, yeah, stretching in the core, through the high up in the adductors, through the pelvis? Is her sacrum pumping? Is she going to dilate through the cervix, or is that cervix holding so much autonomic tension that she's going to go C-sex, slice herself, mess her bladder up, deny the kid the bacterial flora down through the vaginal canal, cut off her conception vessel, and just make whatever she gets 20, 25 years later 10 times worse? Because the doctor doesn't know how to turn a kid, because they don't know how to relax her, because she doesn't know how to relax. Has she cleaned enough cobwebs out of her head? You know, her rage and anger and guilt and shame and betrayal, all those things that we all have we purged some of it? Do we even understand what that means? Does she have a sense of her own autonomic integrity? That's what opens your cervix, the parasympathetic flow. Right. You don't have it, you don't dilate. You don't have it, you can't stretch it out during birth. You don't have it, you're going to tear more. You don't have it, and then your doctor doesn't have it, and no one has it. It's the blind leading the blind. No concept of a midwife. Just an uptight nurse and an uptight OBG that's timing the birth so we can get to the next birth or the yacht club, whichever one. Does he have a track record where a good 60, 70% of his births are C-sec? Hint? Why is Thailand doing 80 to 90% birth all C-sec now? Why are we just giving up on birth? Maybe because we're giving up on the autonomics. Maybe doctors have just said, look, birth is just like a trauma. Nobody dilates. Nobody knows how to just pop it out in 20 minutes anymore. It's one big, long burden. And so let's just cut, get it done with. That appears to be a better, safer way, says the medical doctor. Perhaps the medical doctor, although he did dissection, read Hans Selye's book, perhaps it never sunk into a functional level. They're not going to change. You have to change. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Get to the website. If you're listening to the show, tell your friends about the show. That is the best form of advertising. Your job is to tell your friends about the show. If you value the show, and I think you should, because I don't know where you're going to hear this. You can cruise YouTube all day. It's not there. That's my gift to you. That's my talent. That's my creative potential. And I enhance it the same way I suggest you learning to enhance yours. But this is about your kid. So your labor, your birth, if it's stressed, if your gestation is stressed, you're going to transmit it to your child. Remember, that infant there in utero, that infant is taking every bit of it in. Everything you suffer, it suffers. Then you go C-sec, then you get cut. And then the first 2 years of its life, after birth, it's a sponge. It absorbs everything. Everything. So at least breastfeed it, right? At least keep it off sugar. I don't have to tell you these things. At least vaccinate with discretion. But what I do have to tell you is teach it to use its body. Make sure you expose it to nature, because what we're doing with kids today is we're raising them in Faraday cages. Homes that have concrete floors that don't allow you to connect to the earth. Cell phones to the head. Computers to the head. Sleep dysregulated. Fluorescent lights. We live, educate, and work under fluorescent lights, the light of which eats our hormonal system, dysregulates the pineal gland, wears the sunlight through the pupils in the early morning each day. I don't want to say throw out the computer, obviously, but the cell phone, the iPad, maybe we should throw them away. That's not trendy. But then again, in the 50s, we should have thrown away our cigarettes. That wasn't trendy to say in the 50s. Today, it's very trendy. Don't smoke. Oh, my child, smoking. That's terrible. Don't you know what smoking does? How about 30, 40, 50 hours a day on a computer, 50 hours a week on a computer? Read Becker's Cross Currents, The Perils of Electromagnetic Pollution. I grew up in New York City, Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, a ton of violence. Teachers beating kids to a pulp. Kids beating kids to a pulp. I think I fist fought every day until I was 13. From 13 to 16, I bit off so many fingers on people. I was left alone. I was a tough kid in a nasty neighborhood. And that sounds like you. You understand. You grew up then too. And when you got home, your parents just hit you more sometimes. The old school. It's okay to smack a kid across the room. At least we had an ecosystem where we could burn off all that testosterone, all that adrenaline, all that tension when we played sports. I played every day after school from the time I was four on right to college and through college. I had to burn it out of my system. We've taken that away today. A lot of kids are in that techno thing, techno games. We are producing a culture of kids addicted to this computer. Computeritis, it's something to take a look at. It's just a tool. In the bigger sense, if it's not the computer, if it's not the cell phone, if it's not the iPad, we're going home to fluorescent lights. We're going home to Faraday cages. The American Indian said it a long time ago. He said they were so sensitive, the American Indians, that they said when the white man took us from the circle of the teepee to the square of the log house. Surely we would lose our minds. They looked at shoes. Shoes. Like an abomination. Leather shoes. They looked at shoes as an abomination. They knew it would destroy their minds. It would break their psyches. So did the Vikings. You've heard me talk relentlessly on this topic. So why should we be surprised? That always amazes me. Why are we so surprised then? Look at what we're doing. Autonomic balance, a connection to your endorphin system. The pleasure of burning off all that adrenaline and testosterone. Even if you're running from a pack of dogs, or your friends, or your enemies, your parents, your teachers, the good old days, crazy, they were. But a lot of you from 50 and up remember when there was just a little bit more of a connection to a way to blow off that stress. You want to understand children today? Understand this. We have cut them off from their basic physiological mechanisms. And the generations before us, yes, us 50-year-olds, they ate farm food and they got breastfed. 50 and up, we didn't even get that, did we? Not much of it. I only got a month or two. And generations before that, they lived in New York and Los Angeles. They lived, though, in cities that still offered some semblance of a connection to everything I'm talking about. We don't have that world anymore. We don't even have an abandoned lot on which you could climb a tree. But we can practice natural medicine, life in tune with natural law. Rest assured, the more we stray, the more we're going to pay. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. Get to straighttalk.cc, the website. I'll talk to you next week. Keep your faith.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.